Jay Farner here, CEO of Rocket Mortgage and Rocket Companies. Last year, we saw historically low mortgage interest rates. What you may not know is that interest rates are already starting to increase, and it's likely that trend is only going to continue. Our team of experts is standing by to help you save before rates go up. Don't look back and wish that you had taken action. Call 833-8-ROCKET or visit rocketmortgage.com.
Rocket.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states and MLSconsumeraccess.org number 3030.
This is what matters most, and I'm Matt Popovitz. Look, life is crazier than ever, and lots of people, maybe even you, are feeling anxious and overwhelmed. Today's message is designed to help you figure out what's most important and to experience the peace and joy that God intends for you. Because life is a gift, and it shouldn't be wasted on worry. I'd like to give you a resource, something to help you navigate the road ahead. Just go to mattpopovitz.com, click on the icon, and we'll send it to you. That's mattpopovitz.com. And hey, if you happen to live in the Houston area, I'd love to see you on a Sunday morning at St. Mark in Spring Branch. Head to stmarkhouston.org to plan your visit. Here's today's message. Thanks for listening.
This morning, we are continuing a series that we've been in called The Space Between Us, where we are desiring to bring a bit of hope and health to some of the dysfunctional relationships in our lives. You know those relationships where there's someone that you should be close to, but for whatever reason, you're not. There's space between the two of you. And what we're talking about this morning is the necessity of finding points of commonality and connection so that you might bridge that gap and restore unity. And our model in this conversation is Jesus, and how he closed the gap between us and God through his life and his death and his resurrection. And if you look at Jesus' ministry, specifically how he taught and how he spoke and how he introduced himself to other people, how he engaged with those, particularly those who were far from the religious community, you see that Jesus employed a very particular tactic. Jesus chose commonality over discrepancy. He chose to focus on commonality over discrepancy. Now, I realize that that's a mouthful, but what I mean by that is this. Jesus chose to focus on the things that we all can relate to, that we all can connect to, rather than keep the focus on the things that create the space in the first place. But think, for example, of how he called his disciples. Say Andrew and Peter. They're fishermen. That's their trade. They're not fishing because it's fun. They're fishing because they have to in order to make a living. But it's not ideal for them. What we know about the first century is that for most young Jewish men, the ideal was for them to have a rabbi and be a disciple. That was the ultimate aim. But if they couldn't make that happen, they went off to some family trade like fishing. So the fact that they were fishing meant that in somebody's eyes, they couldn't cut it as a disciple. They were fishing because they were disciple dropouts. They couldn't find a rabbi. And yet Jesus is walking around Jerusalem. He's looking to start his crew, right? And he sees Andrew and Peter, and he's like, oh, they're fishing. And he doesn't call out and say, hey, rabbi rejects, come follow me. What does he do? Here's what he does. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus does this. He saw two brothers, and he saw that they were fishermen. And he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Immediately they left their nets and they followed him. This is easy to overlook, but Jesus looks at them and he doesn't see what's wrong with them. He doesn't see what's broken about them. He doesn't wonder aloud why they couldn't find a rabbi other than him. Instead, he says, oh, they're fishermen. Hey, guys, I've got some fishing for you to do. Follow me. And they do. Or think about Jesus' teaching. Remember, what we believe is that Jesus is God in flesh, the Son of God the Father. As he opened his mouth to teach the truths of the kingdom, everything he taught us should have easily flown over our heads at 10 miles. But it didn't. What does Jesus do? He teaches at the ground floor. He uses parables. He talks about fathers and sons and lilies of the field and lost coins and laborers in the vineyard and wedding feasts. He uses things and imagery that we can relate to, that is common to us, that we can connect to, that we can understand. And of course, it works. All of a sudden, as he's teaching, there are light bulbs of faith going off in the hearts and minds of all these people. He focuses on commonalities and connections in order to share the message, create a relationship, bridge the gap. And it works. Why does it work? Well, it works for Jesus in part because he's the Son of God, God in flesh. But why does it work in general? Why will it work for you as you seek to bridge the gap between you and the person that you're sideways with? Well, on a really basic level, the reason this works is because when you focus on things that you have in common, you can see the humanity in the other person. A focus on commonality forces you to see the humanity in another person. When you focus on even the simplest of things that you have in common, points of connection between you and somebody else, it forces you to see a bit of yourself in them, and so you see more of their humanity. They become more real to you. It's what we do. We magnify their faults. We focus on their idiosyncrasies. We make the issue between us larger than it actually is. And the reason we do that is because it's easier for us to hate that image than to hate the actual person. When we dehumanize them and we make them look like something other than they actually are, it makes it easier for us to justify being estranged from them. But that's precisely the power of commonality, finding points of mutual connection, even the smallest of them, is because when you find those points, it starts to erase and erode that image, and you start to see them as human once again. Like I said a minute ago, the reason this is powerful is because really what you start to see in them is you. And there's nothing we love to love more than ourselves. C.S. Lewis has this great phrase about friendship. He says this. He says, "Friendship is born at the moment when one man says to another, 'What? You too?' That's how friendship, or even just being friendly, is born. Commonality increases the humanity, which can lead to the possibility of some restored unity. And I don't need to tell you this. If you've read the scriptures at all, if you've been paying attention even in this service to some of the scriptures we've already read, what you know is that God the Father loves when we land in that place of unity. He loves when the members of his creation, in particular the people within his church, who are filled with faith in his Son. He loves when we are unified and connected together, when there's no space between us. Verse after verse tells us this. Scripture after scripture tells us to pursue this. Psalm 133, I'll read it again, celebrates this. "Behold, how good and pleasant it is to God when brothers and sisters dwell in unity." Parents, you've experienced this. You've had that moment where your children are getting along. And not only are they getting along, but they're being nice to each other, like really nice to each other. More than that, they're being kind and compassionate to one another, and you didn't even have to threaten them. That joy that you feel, that deep satisfaction you feel when your kids actually show care for one another, that multiplied millions of times over is how God is going to feel when you finally close the gap with that person that you're estranged from. God loves when we dwell in unity. Commonality helps you see the humanity. And when you see the humanity, you have a chance for unity. You have a chance. So then how does this get lived out? What does this look like on a more practical level? Well, I want to give you an image that I think is helpful. I think it's helpful when it comes to trying to wrestle with these relationships and get some unity through commonality. The image is of... a knot. Imagine two strings bound together in a really nasty knot that you've got to try and untie. That's your relationship with this other person right there. And you've got to try and untie it. Now, what we want to do is we want to focus on the differences between us, the discrepancies, the issues, the idiosyncrasies. But that's equivalent of holding either side of the strings and just pulling. And if you hold on to either string and just pull apart from one another, what does that do to the knot? It makes it... just makes things worse. Just becomes harder to untie. So that's not an option if you're really serious about getting this better. So the only way you're going to start to untie that knot is by getting close to it, bringing it right to your face. That's what we talked about in week one. And what we're talking about today is looking closely at the strings in that knot that are all overlapping on one another, that are all bound together and bunched up together. That's your commonality. Look for the strings that are overlapping in that knotty, nasty relationship. Look, look for the strings of overlap, and you start to grab at them and pull just a little bit. There's some overlap here. Can I pull on this? Will I get anywhere? No, there's no movement there. Let me try this one. Some overlap here. Can I pull on this one? Maybe. Oh, I got some give there. Maybe we can talk about kids. No, apparently we can't talk about kids. Maybe we can connect over sport. Okay, there's some give here over sports. The weather, we both experienced that. Let's talk. Oh, we got some give there. And what you do is, and this sounds so obvious, but it's so rarely tried with the person you're estranged from. You get in the same room, you seek connection, and you just work the knot, and you try to find the little areas where the strings are overlapped, and you pull, you tug, you try, and you see where there's movement. And before long, things are starting to loosen. That's what this looks like. And you may have to go down to a microscopic level to get something you can connect on with this person. But that wasn't beyond Jesus. Oh, you're a fisherman. I can talk fishing. The apostle and pastor Paul ran into this in a big way in the church in Galatia. Some false teachers had come in there and turned that little church around in bad ways. They had begun to teach that it wasn't enough to have faith in the resurrected Jesus, but you now also had to adhere to all the Old Testament law. And a debate, some major division arose within that church, and this church that was at one point one, was now experiencing a whole lot of space between different factions. And it was threatening to pull this important church apart. And we might think of that as just a theological debate, but really it wasn't just a theological debate. It was more than that. It was intense. It was personal. This conversation, this argument about the Old Testament law, with people pointing their fingers at one another, who's observing, who's not, who's really a follower of Jesus, who isn't, who takes the gospel seriously. This was an argument about race. This was an argument about culture. This was an argument about one community being privileged over the other, and it was also about religion, all mixed together. This was a very volatile, angry situation with intense separation within the church. And so Paul is left with trying to deal with that, and he's like, how do I create some unity here? And so he takes a cue from Jesus, and he cuts right to the heart of what it is that the church in Galatia has in common. Listen to what he says in chapter 3. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons and daughters of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I'll read that last phrase again. If you are all one in Christ Jesus. Paul is saying this. Get close. Look at one another. Look at one another. Look closely. What do you see at the most foundational, fundamental level of the people around you in this church? Is it the fact that some of you are Jews and some of you are Greeks, some of you are men, some of you are women, some of you are slaves, some of you are free? Look really, really close. Why are you here? That's not it. It's not that stuff. It's because you are all baptized into Jesus Christ. You are all forgiven of your sins. You're wrapped in his holiness as if it's your own. You are all wearing the same clothing of Christ's righteousness. You are not Jew and Greek, male or female. You are brothers and sisters in Jesus at the deepest, most foundational level. That is who you are. And you have a choice in front of you, church. You can focus on these doctrinal, racial, cultural disagreements, and we need to deal with them. But if all we do is focus on that, we will split apart. But if we hold tight to what binds us together at the most basic level and build upon that, we can deal with this. And in your relationship with that other person, you probably need to take the same approach. Your mind may need to be the same as Paul, where you say, not to them, but to yourself, I can continue to focus only on that which divides us. Not that it's not important, but I can continue to focus only on that when I'm with this person, when I think about this person, or I can focus on that which binds us together. And maybe it is faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe all you have, maybe you don't have that. Maybe all you have is a mutual interest in the Astros. Whatever it is, focus on that. That's your option. Build up from there or continue to push them over there. Which will it be?
Hey friends, it's Matt. If you're listening to us in Houston and you're looking for an excellent education in a Christian setting for your student, I'm inviting you to take a tour of St. Mark Lutheran School in Spring Branch. We serve infants through 8th grade with an excellent faculty, brand new facilities, and a faith-forward curriculum. To schedule your tour, head to gostmark.org. That's gostmark.org to schedule your tour today. St. Mark Lutheran School. It's excellent education for your son, your daughter, your little one. Now, back to today's message.
I've got a couple of things that I've found helpful in trying to do this in relationships in my own life, but also in helping people with some biblical counsel, through some biblical counsel, do this in their life. And there are three things that I would encourage you to hold tight to as you try to create commonality and connection for the sake of fostering unity and restoring the relationship. It comes down to these three things. Show your cards, stay curious, and put the best construction on things. By show your cards, what I mean is they're struggling to see you as human as well. They've created a caricature of you in their mind too. In order for them to see a little bit of themselves and you to see you as human, you're going to have to do more than just show up and be stone cold. You're going to need to talk about the things you're hoping for, the things you're wishing for, the things that interest you. You're going to have to be vulnerable a little bit with someone that you might not perceive as totally safe. But if you're going to have a connection, a human connection, you have to show your cards. While you're doing that, stay curious. I realize that this person may be your mom, may be your child, may be your best friend from high school that you're suddenly sideways with. It may be someone that you think you know already completely. Assume you don't know the full story. Assume you don't know everything about what's going on in their heart and mind. Assume you don't know the whole person. And when you meet with them, don't only show your cards, but stay curious. Ask some questions. Play a little game with yourself. The next time I'm with this person, my goal is to find out something about them that I didn't know before. And what you're doing is you're tilling the soil of your mutual lives so that you can unearth something, anything that will help you see their humanity and they yours, and you can connect. Stay curious. And then this is the hardest one. That's why there's a commandment. The 8th commandment touches on this. Put the best construction on everything they say and do. This is so difficult because when you're with them and they start talking like they always talk or doing what they always do, you're going to be immediately tempted to rebuild that caricature of them in your mind. Immediately tempted to do that. Tempted to say, oh, she's lying again. I guarantee she's lying. Or he's so lazy. The reason he hasn't got a job is not because of no opportunity. He's just so lazy. There you are, building that caricature again, dehumanizing them. And some of the things you assume may be true, but for the sake of unity, put the best possible construction and explanation on the things that they say and the things that they do. Assume the best so that you have the opportunity to try and connect over the rest of what you talk about. Because otherwise it's shot. One of my toughest days in ministry, if not the most complicated day I've had in ministry, was June 28th, 2015. It was a Sunday night, and on the previous Friday, the Supreme Court had ruled in the case of Obergefell and Hodges, which was the case that decided that same-sex marriage was legal nationwide. And 2 days later, on a Sunday night, I'm set to lead a service in Midtown Manhattan. And it just so happened that the city's Pride Parade was that Sunday afternoon, just a couple streets over from my church. And our church was small, about 50 people. It was full of young people and incredibly diverse, diverse in belief, diverse in attitude towards the world, diverse in lifestyle, diverse in ethnic makeup, socioeconomic makeup, very, very diverse group of people. And as we got ready for service that night, people started showing up for church, and I could see really easily that they showed up in one of two camps. Some showed up and they were crestfallen, even heartbroken over what had changed in our nation in just the last 2 days, and they were worried about what this meant for the future of the church and where our nation was headed as a whole. And they were carrying that burden in with them. And then there were others who came, and they showed up sunburned from the parade. And I watched as they sat on separate sides of the church. And they'd all shown up wondering, oh, I wonder what Pastor Matt's going to say about all this. I was wondering the same thing. I remember riding the train over and just praying and not knowing like how pastorally to address this moment. Like, is it a moment to just speak the truth about what the scriptures say, about what biology and sociology all say? Is this the moment? Is there something else that needs to be said? And I couldn't shake the words of Paul from Galatians chapter 3. And as I then wrestled with those words and thought about those words as I rode on the train, it became clear to me, and I'll chalk it up to the Holy Spirit, it became clear to me that the greatest issue for that little church that night was not the new law of the land, but whether or not we were going to love each other well as we wrestled with the new law of the land. And that the greatest threat to us as a church, as a Christian community, was not the union of two people, but whether or not we would protect the unity of our congregation. And so as I stood in front of the church, I just plagiarized Paul. I took his words as my own, and what I said is, friends, the world has changed in the last 2 days. But here's what I know. The thing that binds us together as people, at the most deep level, is bigger and more important than the thing that feels like it could push us apart. And the beautiful part of being the church is that when you're the church and when you walk into this room, you are not left or right, progressive or conservative. You are first and foremost the baptized, the forgiven, the beloved. We are brothers and sisters. And if we hold tight to that, if we start with that, we can build up from that in such a way that we can walk through and wrestle with this. Because there's some conversations we got to have about this. But if we hold on to the thing that binds us together and build up from there, we can walk through that difficult conversation. We can walk through that together. But if we jettison that, if we set that aside, and we just focus on how the world's changed and the sides that we've chosen, we're already done. So which will it be? And then we did at that moment what we always did at that moment in the service. I invited them to pass the peace of Christ to one another. It's that part of the service where you look at the other person and say, peace be with you. And if they're Lutheran and a Star Wars fan, they say, and also with you. Only that night, I encouraged them, I asked them, to not just turn to the person next to them, but to walk to the other side of the room and say, peace be with you. And to their credit, they did. The person that you're sideways with, it's time to walk to the other side of the room and to bring with you peace. Not focused on the things that push you apart, but peace built on something, anything, that binds you together.
Hey, it's Matt. I hope you enjoyed What Matters Most. Here's what I need you to know. Life is a gift, and it shouldn't be wasted on worry. I want to help you figure out what's most important and to experience the peace and joy that God intends for you. So for more content, you can head to mattpopovitz.com. That's Matt, P-O-P-O-V-I-T-S.com. There you can also support this ministry, as well as access your free resource, a little something to help you navigate the road ahead. I'd also love to see you on a Sunday morning. If you're in the Houston area, head to stmarkhouston.org to plan your visit. In the meantime, hit me up on Instagram at mpopovitz or at facebook.com/mattpopovitzministries. Thanks for listening. Now go and hold tight to what matters most.